Well, today is Mothering Sunday, as we've been saying, and it's been celebrated since the Middle Ages, over 1,000 years ago. It was the midpoint in Lent, when it was possible, the church taking compassion, I suppose, on the congregation, that they could break from the strict fasting, which started on Ash Wednesday and continued all the way to Easter Day. So if you think about it, you had at one end, you had the celebration and the rich feast of Shrove Tuesday, when all the rich fats and sugars in the house were used up. And then you fasted until you got to Easter Day, and there you celebrated with a feast, celebrating Jesus' resurrection and new life. And on this fourth Sunday, this midpoint in Lent, the opening liturgy of the ancient Catholic Church was based on Isaiah 66 with the theme of God's motherly trait. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you that love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you that mourn over her. For you will feed and be satisfied. At her comforting breasts you will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will feed and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And so this is where we get the idea of Mothering Sunday. It's a bit like Stir Up Sunday. If you remember, that comes about a couple of weeks before Advent starts. And it's called Stir Up Sunday because the opening part of the liturgy says, stir up your hearts. Not stir up your Christmas pudding. But here, on this fourth Sunday in Lent, you have this call to worship from Isaiah about God comforting her child, comforting and as a mother would comfort. And so it became a day to return to your mother church, the church where you were baptized. And it was a day when servants were given the day off from their domestic duties so that they could visit their mothers. And of course, in our modern society, it's an opportunity to give thanks to God for our mothers, for all their love and care. And it's also, of course, an opportunity for the florists to put their prices up and the card companies to generate some extra cash. But recently, there has been some controversial talk about the ways in which we think about God. Should God be addressed as mother? You might feel the same about that as I do. But there we are. At the Church of England Synod held last month, one of the issues for discussion was the gender of God. Whether the Church should abandon referring to God as our Father in favour of a more inclusive term. Well, whether we are looking at our mothers, our mother church, or our mother God, we can each think about what we're celebrating today on this fourth Sunday in Lent, usually referred to as Mothering Sunday. Now, when it comes to the gender of God, the Bishop of Lichfield, who is vice chair of the Liturgical Commission, responsible for such matters, reflected that the Church had been exploring the use of inclusive language in relation to God for a number of years. However, he said, changing the wording of the liturgy would require synodal approval. The synod report stated that it is unclear what would replace the term Our Father in the Lord's Prayer, the central Christian prayer which Jesus is recorded as teaching his disciples and which has been used by the church ever since. Well, it was decided that the church would set up a new commission on the matter in the spring. Any potential changes which were approved which would mark a departure from the traditional teaching dating back millennia, would have to be approved by the church's decision-making body, the synod. So you had to have a commission, and then a discussion, and then to the synod. Well, if you're like me, a fan of Yes, Prime Minister, this sounds like Jim Hacker setting up a leak inquiry. If you want to discover where the leak was, you set up a leak inquiry, which of course would discover nothing. In other words, you kick it into the long grass. And I suspect that a synodal commission to look at the wording of the Lord's Prayer might reach a similar location. But Christians have recognized since ancient times that God is neither male nor female. Yet the variety of ways of addressing and describing God found in Scripture has not always been reflected in the liturgy of the church. As I've said before, the Bible's got many references to God that reflect God in motherly terms. The Old Testament prophet Hosea speaks of God teaching his people to walk when they're children, taking them in his arms of love, leading them with cords of human kindness and ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Well, this certainly doesn't sound like the description of the male member of the household. And Jesus, who reveals God, speaks of a mother looking with love on the people. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. But perhaps the most fundamental verse on the gender of God is found in the opening chapter of the Bible. So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female he created them. So, why all the fuss? God combines the role of father and mother in his creation. He is the father of his children, but also the mother who, in care and love, leads and protects them. God has the fullness of human life in his own image, male and female, motherhood and fatherhood. Perhaps, especially on this Mothering Sunday, we should let God be both our mother and our father, and know the love with which God cares for us and protects us from harm. So let us share the special prayer for Mothering Sunday, printed on the... The one thing we do know, of course, is that mothers are a very important part of creation. They are part of God's creative genius. So what are mothers like? According to the Bible, the role of a mother is to love and care for her children. She is to teach and train, nurture and discipline. A godly mother is to model godly living for her children. Take care of a home. Christian mothers and fathers reflect God's love and purposes. As we read in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Well, I have to tell you, when I think of what my mother had to put up with from me, then certainly mothers are saints. I can always reflect on the time that I decided I would build a rocket. and fill it with chemicals that I gathered from school and from the chemist. And I rammed them into a sparklet bulb, you know, one of those little gas cylinders. And I filled it up and I put it on the windowsill outside my brother's bedroom. And I lit the fuse and it took off beautifully until it got parallel with our neighbor's window, when it exploded with the sound of broken wood and broken glass. And I did what any dutiful Christian young lad would do. I ran and hid in the only room in the house that had a lock. That was the bathroom. I heard lots of noisy voices. I heard running footsteps. Then it was very quiet. And eventually, my mother came and knocked on the door. And she said, "It's okay. You can come out. I forgive you. But don't you dare do that again." As I said to you, my mother was a saint. According to an American psychologist, there are five mother types. There's the perfectionist, there's the unpredictable, there's the best friend, there's the me first, and there is the complete mother. These all describe the ways in which mothers and children relate to each other and how they build that relationship. By understanding your mother type, according to the psychologist, or perhaps what type your own mother is, you can take healthy, positive steps to heal or strengthen your family relationships. The complete mother combines the best elements of all the other four types. She's emotionally balanced. She can see her children as individuals and help them achieve their own independence. She isn't necessarily perfect herself, but whatever her emotional circumstances, she's committed to her children, regardless of other responsibilities outside the home. According to this analysis, this ideal has only been experienced by about 10% of us. I'm actually surprised it's that high, again, knowing how children can test their parents, certainly in my case. If we're a child of a complete mother, because we feel loved and understood, we can take risks. We can embrace change. We can initiate relationships without fear of rejection. We'll have the ability and insight to appreciate that other people, be they colleagues or family members, have their own thoughts and perspectives. We'll be able to navigate the challenges of becoming independent, and we won't feel emotionally dependent on parents. Well, as I reflected on these very high-sounding attitudes this psychologist puts forward, a number of thoughts popped into my mind. Firstly, as I said before, the complete mother is a saint. But then, shouldn't we expect fathers to relate to their children in the same way? In fact, it's interesting that Paul, in the next passage after the one we read, actually goes on to say that fathers shouldn't upset their children, shouldn't antagonize them. Doesn't say mothers shouldn't antagonize their children, so it's obviously the fathers that actually need to develop this sainthood. And mothers and fathers need guidance, they need patience, and they need the wisdom of God to fulfill their God-created roles. And children have their own responsibilities in respecting and caring for their parents. I won't ask mothers here if you actually had breakfast in bed this morning. In our gospel reading, we heard these words of Jesus from the cross. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. This marks out for us the relationship that God looks for us in our care for each other. Lent is a time for following Jesus on the path to the cross. It's a time for loving others. It's a time for sacrifice. It's a time to know God as our creator and life giver. Eberhard Arnold, the early 20th century German theologian, wrote these words: "Happy those children who have a mother to whom they can pour out their hearts and always count on her understanding, and a father in whose strength and loyalty they are so confident that they seek his advice and help all their lives." Many people long to be such parents to their children, and could be, if only they possessed enough wisdom and love. So our prayer is that God would give us, mothers or fathers or children, that wisdom and that love. We can't fit God into a box marked mother or father, whatever the synod may decide. For as God revealed to Moses, when Moses said, "What's your name?" He said, "I am who I am. I will be who I will be." For us, God is our Father and our Mother, our Judge and our Saviour, our Lover and our Friend. We must let God be God. And thank God for our parents, and especially today for our mothers.